What's up, everybody? Welcome to We Have Cool Friends, the cool show where I interview my cool friends about the cool things they're doing. I'm Greg, and this is my cool friend, Ryan Clements.
Oh, my God. And we're back. What's happening? And we're back.
Take a big stretch. We came out of the cryopods. If you haven't been seeing my Twitters, ladies and gentlemen, it's been 7 years at least since Ryan and I did a podcast that was like one-on-one intimate. I don't count. You worked at the PlayStation blog. I know we did a couple things there, but that was business. That doesn't count, you know? Nobody's talking about urinal sandwiches. You know, that's what I'm talking about.
Oh, man. We're already rolling out jokes that people are going to be like, you know, those guys scared me with the jokes that they were talking about on that show. I just don't understand them.
I don't know. You know, Ryan, of course, you missed being a founder of Podcast Beyond by like 2 weeks or whatever it was, but like
it's like 3 episodes later and they're like, let's get this guy on.
The most I know, you got smart. You left the video game press side of the industry, you went to PlayStation, work on that side, and then you ended up over at Deck Nine writing, right?
Yes.
Like, I don't know how much interaction you get it, but there is nothing more terrifying then the people who come up to me at shows these days, shake my hand and go, I got into this business because I'm like, oh my God, that's rad. Yeah, I was listening to Podcast Beyond when I was 9 years old. I was listening to Beyond when I was 11 years old. You got me through junior. I'm like, you, it's not even the old thing. I was just like, you were way too young. We did not realize someone that age would be listening to us fart around in that podcast room.
Let me check the notes. It was not a family friendly podcast. Pretty sure. This one's going to be safe for all ages, though.
Not a chance now. Come on now. You put Pom Sider and Greg Miller together on a show, you're fucked. It's over. That's not going to shake out.
I want to just start by saying that not only am I super happy to be here, and I'm really grateful for the chance to just see you again and talk with you in like a podcast setting.
Yeah.
But it's just been amazing to see all the success that Kinda Funny has had. And I mean, I feel like I really haven't touched base with you guys, well, like as stated, in seven years. So it's been, you've had quite a bit of success in that time.
Shortly before you left the Bay Area, we came over to your house. Met your child. I remember that, but it was like the first time outside of an industry event that we had sat down and talked in forever.
I know. It's been really long, and so this is a nice opportunity. Although you're so far away, so very far.
In the old days, we would have flown you in, but now the COVID times.
I know, but yeah, it still works, and it blows my mind that I can like just do a podcast with you by sitting at my desk.
I know, right? Yeah, well, there's pros and cons to it, but yeah, the fact that now I can be like, you want to do this? You're like, I guess. Let me get dressed. Let me throw on a headset. Come on over and do this.
I was supposed to get dressed.
Just from the waist up. That's all you ever have to worry about nowadays. Just waist up.
Have you ever had? Sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt you.
But no, this is a conversational podcast. You know how it works.
Have you had any like moments with a guest where the guest? It'll just be that awkward moment where they'll stand up, they're not wearing pants, or the kid runs in, or like the house is on fire, anything like that.
We were interviewing on We Have Cool Friends Tim Schafer once. And like none of this is awkward because I think it would be awkward for people if we weren't all in the same situation. If it was like, oh, just California's on lockdown or just New York's on lockdown. He was in the podcast talking about, you know, Double Fine's anniversary, talking about their journey, where they're going, where they've been. And in the middle of it, like his wife walked in and was like, can you help me with these windows? And he's like, I'm on a show right now. Like, I can't help you. It was groceries or windows. I forget what it was. So like, that's the, you know, the way it usually works. And, you know,
what was the window work? Were they installing windows? And she's
they had windows laying there that they needed to move to get groceries in. I forget what the whole thing was, but it's stuff like that, right? Where I think you have it where people just don't understand like the things because it all blends together now. I know Jen comes out of the room. She's never sure if I'm on a show or if I'm just hanging out. So it's
there's someone back there. Is that Jen or is that someone else?
That's Jen. That's Jen back there. Ryan Clements says hi.
Hi, Ryan.
She says hi, buddy.
God, I could hear that through that. That is a nice microphone.
That's the Elgato Wave.
You're a professional.
I know, right? Yeah. When you got on, you're like, oh my God, your shot's so good. I'm like, Ryan, this is all I do now. Kevin had to make it look good.
Yeah, I know. And I thought I had a good webcam, but no, sir.
No. Well, we have these full-blown cameras. Ryan, you know, we jumped in here, and assuming people know the entire history of Ryan Clements, I'm sure many don't. Who are you for somebody who's tuning in and doesn't know your lineage?
Sure. Well, right now I'm a writer and a narrative designer, and that's like most current form of Ryan.
Sure.
But I think a lot of people came into our orbit, as you were saying, when I was like a newbie editor at IGN many years ago, which I think I, when did I start? Like 2007? Does that 2007. Sound right?
Yeah, that's right.
So yeah, 2007 started Podcast Beyond like episode 4 and was working with you like way back then when, you know, I mean, you were handsome then, but you're way more handsome now.
That's
so
true.
I knew Greg in his, in his lesser forms.
Four times.
yeah. So I worked at, I was at IGN for about 5 or 6 years. And then essentially after some schmutzing around, then I went to Sony, went to the Sony Interactive Entertainment or PlayStation and was there for 5 years. And I just, one of the, I don't know if I've ever told this story, but like I had literally just gotten, hold on a second, let me get it. Hold on.
Yeah. Now he gets up and has no pants on.
Yeah. And I have pants. I literally got this.
Five years of service.
Okay, yeah, you can see it. I got this. I'm very thankful, and I've obviously kept it close because I love this, and I'm grateful for everyone at PlayStation. And then, like, the day getting this, I also am like, well, anyway, I am departing PlayStation. Thanks for all the opportunities. And they're like, oh, okay, well.
Well, can we have the thing back?
we can melt it down and give it to the next person.
We can buff
next
out your name and put somebody else in there. That seems very disrespectful.
So, then after PlayStation, I worked for about 2 years at Deck Nine Games, and for those that don't know them, they've been around forever, but probably entered the mainstream consciousness as doing Life is Strange Before the Storm, which is the prequel to the original Life is Strange.
It had no business being as good as it was.
Well, thank you. I'll tell them. I'm in the ether and I'm looking for my next opportunity because I left Deck Nine only a couple weeks ago, which is why I joked with Greg before the show started that like I didn't need to ask anyone for permission before doing a podcast because I'm so used to checking with higher ups, checking with the PR team, like, you know, ask everyone, make sure you cross all your T's, dot your I's, or whatever the saying is. But this time I was like, let's do it.
Well, yeah, so, I mean, that was always the thing. I think, you know, you've been so high on the guest list for people when they request people to come through Kind of Funny. But like when you're at PlayStation, I didn't even bother. Because PlayStation is like, again, like,
it's just formal. It's just a formal business.
And we are
so
who we are.
Yeah. You have to like everything that you do that's public facing. You know, it was within my responsibility as an employee there to make sure that I was being responsible and respectful to, you know, everyone that works there. And so that means that generally meant not gallivanting off and doing a bunch of bullshit.
You want to talk about that time we called Beyond a hypothetical abortion podcast? Like, PlayStation's like, no, do not go on that show. Please do not go drink up these memories.
So, yes, it was, yes, now I can enjoy this time. I'm really happy to be here.
I'm happy to have you. It's great to have you. If you didn't know, ladies and gentlemen, this is We Have Cool Friends. Each and every week, we bring one of our cool friends to the table to talk about the cool stuff they're doing. Of course, you can get this show on youtube.com/kindoffunny. You can get it on podcast services around the globe. But of course, you can go to patreon.com/kindoffunny, where you can enter the friend zone, be a Kind of Funny best friend, write in with your questions for the guests, get the show ad-free, and support us on our quest to make the best podcasts ever. Today, we're brought to you by MeUndies, Manscaped, and Blue Chew, but I'll tell you about that later. So here's what I want to know, Ryan.
I want to know about MeUndies right now.
I refuse to tell you about them right now, all right? I got to keep people are here, they're like, I don't know that much about Ryan. I'm not that interested, but they'll stay around for the MeUndies information. Wait, I can get my dad cheaper underwear for Christmas? I got to hang out and figure out what that's going to be all about. How old do you feel? Because when you and I talked about having you on the show, and I was like, oh man, it's been 7 years. And then I mentioned something of to you where I was like, you know, it's the weirdest thing where Kind of Funny feels like it's been around forever, but then also feels brand new. And then in the same breath, it feels like 2007 and working on 8000 Mirabella Boulevard was like yesterday. And so it's this weird thing, especially when I look at you and how much you've changed, right? You talk about, I look way more handsome. You look way more handsome, right? Than the kid who showed up.
Less hair.
I still that. I love it when you put in Google image search for Ryan Clements. It still brings up that photo of you with the poofy hair, those glasses, and like doing the thumbs up from like the oldest, like best year end roundup 2007 article.
Yeah, I feel that's really funny, man. I want to dig into that a little bit, but I think that part of me feels like those times are so far away.
Yeah.
Because like I think I get like extreme. First of all, I'm a nostalgia junkie. I think people that like know the podcast, I've like talked about how things trigger nostalgia for me, and it's something that like that is a sentiment, and that is like a part of consuming art that's really special to me, is like kind of tapping into something that goes, that runs older and deeper than you. And so I felt that way a lot what triggered this for me? When IGN like finally was leaving their office on Second, and there was tons of stuff going around on Twitter about that, and a lot of the editors were sharing memories and photos. And that felt like another lifetime ago.
Right.
I think it's also, not to get too philosophical, but when you have a kid, it kind of creates a delineation in your life between like before and after they entered your space and your existence. And so like everything that happened before my son was born, it feels like a different lifetime.
Totally.
And now I feel like I'm living in this second, you know, much more difficult life.
Hard mode. It's new game.
Now it's new game plus. It's on hard mode. All the enemies have double health. It's really difficult. it's been really tough. But it feels so long ago. But then, as you say, the moment that we start, like you bring up these stupid jokes that we have, it snaps me right back. So that was a long way of saying both.
Yeah. Well, I mean, that's just the thing that I find such a weird mashup. And that's the thing too, of like, you know, like I in our company meeting or every Friday where we plan out what happens next week, I'm like, oh yeah, and Clements is coming in. It's that thing of like, oh wait, so many of you don't know him. You know what I mean? Like, it's not, and even like Nick Scarpino, like he doesn't know you like I know you. Like, you know what I mean? He didn't go on those trips to LA to see whatever PlayStation thing's going on, or talking to you while you're in Japan, reporting on the NGP about what the hell's going on and what it looks like and all that. I can't even imagine for you, right? Because like, even though I'm working out of my apartment now because of COVID or whatever, like I started in 2007 at IGN too, right? Just a few months before you. And the way my job has evolved is still similar to what it was. Whereas, you know what I mean? Like you know, you joke around about PlayStation PR. Of course, you're talking about being a PlayStation employee, but like, I still talk to all the same PlayStation PR people I've been talking to for 14 years, right? If I'm going to Xbox, I'm still talking to Jeff Rubenstein. Like before this, we were getting ready for the Fortnite stream. So Kevin was like, turn it on to get it ready. And so HDCP was on. So I got up and I stood there and I can hear you, and I have the controller in my hands as I turn off HDCP, like I've done a million times on PlayStation 4 or whatever I would do on PS3 to get it to work. And it's just like, God, it's such a, that's the nostalgia that kicks for me, those little moments and those muscle memories.
Yeah, absolutely. That's really funny. I want to talk a little bit about like making that leap into game development.
Yeah, please do.
I think that's really fun. And it's something like you and I haven't really talked a lot about. And I'm eager to share, but I don't even know how to do the HDCP anymore, dude. It's been that long for me. So I couldn't even tell you.
Can you still use your printer settings on PS3? That's the big question. If I asked you to go through the XMB.
Dude, definitely not. I haven't had my PS3 plugged in anywhere in a long time.
Yeah.
A very long time.
So talk to me. You're eager to talk about jumping to game development. Talk to me about that. When did you?
Yeah, it was
know
because
you wanted to do that.
It was when you were describing like going through these things that you've been doing for 14 years. It kind of made me think about the, like I forgot when it was, but I was sitting around. I loved. Hold on a second. Quick prologue to what I'm about to say. Prologue.
Tell me about Folklore.
I adored my time at PlayStation. It was so, I'm so thankful to Sid who brought me on board. I loved all my coworkers. It was an amazing job. So when I talk about leaving, I like to reference that prologue because I feel like it's important for me to recognize like how fortunate I was to have that spot. But I remember sitting there at my desk and I think I like got a request because I was on the social media team, right? Which means, you know, not only was I doing similar things that I used to do at IGN, like editorial style content, previews, interviews, you know, features, but also doing, you know, just running their social media accounts and helping the team distribute content. And I remember like getting a request and it was like, we need you to write like the best tweet for Madden you can possibly write. And you're like, we got to get Madden out hard this year. And I was like, you know what? I think I'm done. I need something new. And I've always loved you know me. I've always loved being creative and writing, you know, fiction and writing things that are not just editorial. And I thought, and I was actually, here's another great opportunity to give someone a shout out. I was so inspired by what Mitch Dyer did because he's like this editor that came into IGN like fairly long after you and I did, I would say, like years probably, right?
Yeah, he was Lynch era. Like, so that would have been like 2011-ish, 20. I mean, we were in the new office, so definitely somewhere in there, yeah.
Your memory is so much better than mine, dude.
Well, I'm probably wrong about all that information. I'll just text Mitch.
I have him on Discord. I could probably message him.
You play Dota with him, huh?
I have tried Dota before. Though I'm the worst Dota player of all time. Anyway, wait. That's not the point of this story. The point is, I was so inspired by seeing Mitch like go from like I'm an editor at IGN to I'm gonna write the campaign for one of the biggest Star Wars games, you know, to come out to hit like modern consoles. And I was like, first of all, amazing. Second of all, if that's something that he can do and he's passionate about, maybe that's something I can do. And that's why I started really pushing myself to like, how can I enter into a more creative space? And that's when, you know, that's in like what, 2017 or 2018 when I started to apply around to a bunch of different spots. And that's when I was really lucky enough to have the chance to go over to Deck Nine and work with them on the literal only thing I can say, which is a narrative adventure game published by Square Enix.
Because it's not out yet. That's the deal, right?
That's literally the total amount of public information of the game is that it is a narrative game published by Square Enix. So that's it.
I for the record, Mitch has responded that I am correct. October 2011, he was contract full time. February 2012, full time immigrated.
Is Mitch the one? Here's talking about tapping into weird stories. Was that the time when you were giving a pep talk to like all the editors in the bullpen and you were like, look, guys, like this is our chance to make a more welcoming, kind environment to the new editors. Like this is what we can do. We can welcome Mitch. We can bring him on board. We can show him the ropes and we can like build a new editorial future at IGN. And the moment Mitch walked in, you were like, boo, boo. And we were all like, what the hell were you just talking about, dude?
Listen, I don't want to lie to people, all right? Like, they have to understand. It's similar to what we're talking about with the cursing on this show or whatever. Like, you got to know what you're getting into. Where, yeah, it's going to be a welcoming environment, but we're going to boo you sometimes out of fun. You know what I mean? And I knew him at that point. Mitch was fine. He would have been fine being booed. Don't worry about it.
You know? He laughed. It was hilarious.
See, and that's how you know you're going to fit in. It's the people who watch it. If you walk in and we boo you, you get mad. You weren't gonna make it. Get out of here. All right. I mean, that's back to what I was talking about, right? With like how I felt IGN worked, and I told the story many a times with you. I think being the example of like IGN is a or was I should not say is when we were there decades ago.
Yeah,
it was a den full of cats. And when you'd introduce the new cat and all the cats would hiss at it and be annoyed by it. And then one day out of the blue, they'd be sleeping on top of each other. They'd be family. They'd be sharing food and toys. Like it was the weirdest
sharing
thing.
All their cat alcohol. Yeah,
exactly. It was it was the weirdest thing of you go on these trips and come back and you'd be bonded with people that you, you know, had worked with, but didn't talk to or whatever. It was the strangest experience.
Oh,
but
yeah.
For strange experiences, like you talk about, like you see Mitch do it, that inspires you.
Yeah.
Right now, if I woke up tomorrow and I was like, you know what? I want to be a narrative writer on a video game. I want to write a video game. I would have no fucking clue what to do, how to submit, what I need. Like, what was your first step on that journey?
A lot of trying to better myself as a candidate and better myself as a writer, which meant like kind of giving myself an education in the parts of the craft that I sort of kind of missed. like either in school or in my career afterwards. Because I mean, you know, with the right tools, like with a screenwriter, you know, with the right tools, like with Final Draft or Fade In, sure. like you could totally write a screenplay. It's going to be like the world's worst screenplay, but you can do it. And so I started just reading a lot of literature and practicing and making and, you know, whipping up samples and just trying to feel out like what that part of the craft really entails.
Gotcha.
But I was also very lucky in that I learned a lot at Deck Nine. Like I'm like light years ahead of where I was 2 years ago, which is really helpful. So yeah.
So what's next? Like the other thing I know about you, I remember when we were 2007 at IGN, and I remember like, you know, it's SF and we're entry level and we're making no money. I'm not going to specific by any stretch of imagination, but I remember you were putting aside a ginormous part of your paycheck into like a 401k long before any of us were even thinking about it. And you were just like, I just want to be sure. I just want to make sure I'm fine. And it cemented for me, like when I think of young Ryan, of such a worry wart in always trying to make sure he had a plan for what was going on. Mm-hmm. Where are we now with that? Like, obviously, because I can't even imagine, like, right? Like, you know, you're on your own right now. You have a child, you have a house, you're like, where are you at right now with, in general, I guess what 2020 has been, but like right now in career part of it all.
Yeah. I mean, that's a great question. I'm also thinking I want to talk like about tires exploding and 401ks and all the funny Ryan Clement stories.
I haven't thought about you being terrible. I haven't thought of that story in a decade. Because what was it? You were just driving on the highway with somebody coming back from the mall. And you're like, I always worry about my tires exploding.
No, that's a gross oversimplification of the fear of the. It was because do you remember the first little Chevy that I owned?
Yeah,
like it was the most bare bones car. I mean, because like, you know, I bought it when I came out to California and like, here we go. This is totally not answering your question. I'm sorry.
We'll get to it. Fuck it. Don't get me.
Yeah. But it would make this sound when you were on the highway and it was like this howling. And I can only imagine it was just a weird way the wind was hitting, was, you know, bouncing off the windshield because nothing ever happened. But I remember hearing it for the first time. I was like, well, that doesn't sound good. Sounds like the tires could explode. maybe not that. But like I would ask people that got into the car when we were driving down the highway or going to whatever god awful food we would drive to for lunch.
Let's go to Julie's. Let's go to Hoffra.
I would be like, "Do you hear that?" And then you would always like laugh because you would always envision me like white knuckling my steering wheel, like, they could explode at any minute and we're all gone, like a blink of an eye, snuffed out, like a candle extinguished in the water.
Gone.
So yeah, just gone. No, that was it. That's the extent of the story. Is my car made a weird noise and nothing ever came of it.
And you worried about it forever.
But it's not like I actively worry about it now. But
now you got way bigger worries.
I love that story because it's like it's so indicative of my personality, which is I worried a lot more back then.
Yeah,
I think I'm a lot different of a person now. You probably are too, but
of course
I'm such a different person now than I was back then. Back then, I was just this crazy worry wart. I mean, like, I can't even like look back there without cringing at myself. It was so funny. But anyway, I don't even know what your question was, dude. What were we even talking about?
We're talking about now. So now you're what's the next step for you? Where do you,
The next step is I'm open to doing, you know, freelance and contract work, but I'm actively exploring and applying to other studios, other studios that need writers, that need narrative designers. But I'm working on some contract stuff for a friend right now. But I mean, like that, I think that freelance is an incredible opportunity. But it's also, I love working in a studio because I feel like it's a really great way to learn and to grow. And that's something that I would really love to keep doing. So that's in my, but I mean, dude, like me leaving Deck Nine, that only happened like what, 3 weeks ago now, or roughly give or take. So, yeah. I mean, it's like barely been enough time for me to like update your resume and like, you know, do, like look online and see like, well, who's, you know, who has openings right now. So, I mean, there's been a lot. And then of course, you know, just doing contract work on the side, it's trying to stay busy. Also, there's this whole pandemic situation, which eats up a lot of time. I will say that when you have a kid and that kid doesn't have school or childcare, it definitely, it occupies a lot of your mind and your energy during the day, which is something that I do, you know, no one should envy parents during a global pandemic right now. Yeah.
So a whole bunch of stuff I want to dissect there, but for the game side of it, do you feel like you're part of the games industry on that side, the creator, the developer, that part of it? Like, or is there like imposter syndrome, or like, do you feel like you have your place there? Cause you know, whenever there are, you know, layoffs or projects ending or whatever, you're talking about, you know, doing freelance work with the buddy right now, but like, you know, there usually are so many moving parts for people to continue to make games and stuff. Like,
yeah,
you had 2 years at Deck Nine. Do you feel like you're established?
Well, am I established? It's not like I'm, there are so many incredible narrative designers in the industry. I would say that I have gotten an enormous amount of experience in those 2 years that's really going to be, that I really value. But established, I don't know, because I mean, a lot of narrative designers and writers in the game space have been doing this for way longer than 2 years and have had, you know, they've written for multiple games. And the tricky thing
they
that
can
I,
talk about their game, right?
That they can talk about. That's the key, is that when, and I think it's going to be really fun, and I would love to keep, you know, check in with you in the future. But when I can actually talk about the game, that's going to be super fun. And that's not something I could do right now.
Sure.
So, you know, that'll be something to look forward to, and it will be a boon in, you know, in that, you know, in my next step in my career. But I don't know if I'm established, because you have to, then I automatically compare myself to other famous narrative designers and people that have been around for a lot longer, and they just have more experience. And that's something that I want to continue growing, is that experience.
So I guess, you're not worried out there, global pandemic, no job, you're deadbeat. You know what I mean? Your wife's supporting you, trying to keep this baby fed, everything else. You're as happy to come in this room.
He's not a baby. You know that he's grown since you last saw him. He doesn't just enter stasis.
I haven't seen a photo in a long time. All right.
He's like 4 and a half now. Can you believe
that? So he can roll over now.
He's doing a lot more than rolling over. Well, let me talk about it a little bit. We can get into this a little, because I think it's kind of a good segue. I'm very lucky that in kind of an uncertain and difficult time, kind of a sudden shakeup in my career, I have a partner who I can lean on. And I think that's something that I really want to give her credit for, and the people that are in similar situations. Like, it's really nice to be able to lean on her. And, you know, the classic dilemma that I think a lot of folks have in any industry is like, hey, will I have healthcare? Like, it's a global pandemic. Like, you know, how do I take care of myself? How do I take care of my family? And I'm lucky that, you know, my partner has, you know, we can just roll right onto her healthcare plan. And we are a lot more fortunate than what a lot of folks are dealing with nowadays. And I do not take that for granted. Sure. I also, and again, I knew that, like, I wouldn't want to bum out your show too much, but...
bum away.
Yeah, just bump, just
bump,
like,
these kids
just,
out.
Let's just fucking sink into the earth, man. So, you know, I, as some people who follow me and are my friends know, and you know, and we've talked about it, I lost my mother to cancer in June, and that pretty much being the hardest point in my life, and simultaneously, you know, when now all of a sudden I have to. I'm her sole heir. I have to manage all her, you know, kind of her estate and her life assets.
Yeah.
That was an opportunity for my family and I have a little bit of breathing room, even in this moment of uncertainty.
Sure.
Where I can take my time. Because what I want is I want my next step to be the right one. And
yeah,
I don't
not out of desperation.
You don't want to rush into something. You want to make sure that it's the right fit for you and your family. And I really, I guess I just want to say that my heart really goes out to folks that maybe don't have the luxury of time. They don't have the luxury of like a stable financial situation, because it's terrifying. And I really like my heart. Yeah. My heart just goes out to folks that are in that situation right now. So I am not worried because I'm pretty much ever since day one at IGN, I'm perpetually trying to stay positive and stay hopeful.
Yeah.
And try and find the good in life and what's you know, the next thing for me. So I'm not super worried. And dude, that 401k, I mean, I told you, like, I'm fine.
They
don't
took
worry
off the
about
restrictions
it.
During this pandemic. You can take it out and not have any of the problems I was reading somewhere.
Hey, dude, I'm not going to take out of my 401k. Are you crazy?
So how do you do that? That's one of the things I think that, you know, I'm always
take out of your 401k.
No. I don't want. Well, give me your account number. The last 4 years, I'll get in there for you. No. How do you stay positive? I think people, you know, always talk to me about that because it's something I put out on the internet. But I know how hard that is in general, let alone into 2020. So then to be on your side of it, right? Of like, you know, to lose your mom, lose your job, like, you know, to be in this situation. How has the world not broken, Ryan Clements?
Okay. Good question.
Thank you. I still got it.
You still got it, man. Okay, well, let's get into it. Two things. First thing, I am aware that the challenges that I have faced in life are challenges that I have been able to overcome. Mm-hmm. I think that for a lot of people, maybe even some listeners out there, some of your community who have not been able to stay positive. I don't want to say that that's a fault of theirs or that it's the wrong way to approach hard times, because yes, I encourage people to stay positive, but like, you know, I am not someone who's struck by a disability or, an impossible financial strain from like, not having healthcare, or, you know, like being, you know, suddenly losing their home. Like there's so many things that are really hard in the world. So when, I guess this is my opportunity to say that yes, Ryan Clements stays positive and tries to smile, but I think that everything that life has dealt me, I've been able to handle, and it hasn't been too much. It hasn't been like insurmountable.
Sure.
And I like to recognize that, but then at the same time, there's a famous quote, and I wish because I'm on the spot, I'm going to forget who said it. But he was like a world-renowned longtime journalist.
Jean-Claude Van Damme.
It was not Jean-Claude Van Damme.
Sorry.
Great guess.
That positivity.
And he, you know, in like a town hall or in like a big conference he was in, I heard it on the radio and it really resonated with me. He said, "I do not despair." And I think that it's to be able to stay positive, to not despair, is a powerful tool, even when like that's all you want to do, because it doesn't really serve you. It can't really help you to despair and to lose hope. It can usually only hurt you. Now, those feelings of hopelessness, those negative feelings, sadness, anger, all those things, those are normal. Those are natural. This is like me, Ryan, the dad talking. I'm like encouraging all the young people that listen to this totally family friendly show. You know, all those things are normal, natural. And I invite people to feel those things when they come. But ultimately, you are not served by a feeling of despair and hopelessness. It will, you know, it will eat away at you. And that's why we were just talking about it before the show started, like even just trying to stay positive, even when life is like just kicking you in the stomach, it can help a lot. And that's kind of what I've done. I'm probably rambling too much, Greg. I'm sorry.
Yeah, trust me. We have cool friends. It's not Greg talks. So everybody wants to hear you talk. Don't worry about it. Don't worry about that at all. Ashimbo in the chat says Walter Cronkite. that was the journalist you're looking for. Does that sound right?
Is it Cronkite?
That's what he says.
It might have been. It might have been. Okay. Yeah.
The question I have off of what you just said is this. You said, you know, I'm slipping into dad mode here. I'm being a dad. That's the other thing. So we talked about like my question of like, obviously, because I am a talentless hack who just talks about games. You made the jump to making games. And I was wondering how that feels to come from our world. Do you feel like a dad? Like, Jen and I were talking today on our morning walk about, if we were like, how are they going to do, stick with me, this is a walk. How are they going to do the vaccine? When the vaccine's here, how do they actually decide who it goes to and what it does? And Jen said, well, all right, let's say we were doing it. And then she goes, oh my God, like the people who are doing this are adults like us. They probably don't know what the hell they're doing either. And that was the thing where I was like, every adult's just faking it, right? No adult knows what's going on. Do you feel that way about fatherhood? Do you feel like I'm a dad and I am a dad and this is my child and this is how it works? Or do you feel like, oh my God, are you white knuckling it? I don't know what happens next.
The tire's gonna explode at any minute. I do feel like a dad, like almost comically so. And I like to the point of where dad jokes are now becoming something that resonates with me deeply. Did you see the Justin Davis like really bad old dad jokes and punny jokes he was putting up on Twitter recently? I almost want to tell it on the show, but I'll save that for later in case we get some dead air.
We're just staring at each other.
But like I do feel like a dad, and I don't know what I'm doing, and it's really, really the hardest thing I've ever done. Being a parent is a fundamental shift in the purpose of your life, and it really does complicate and make more difficult every other thing in your life, while simultaneously, I think, also showing me, like, if there is a purpose of life, and I don't even know, I'm not even certain that there is yet, besides to exist, I think that being a parent gives you a glimpse into what it means to participate in the act of continuing life in the universe. And to me, that's miraculous. Mm-hmm. Really, really something that's incredible, to be able to see your child grow, to learn, to love. And it feels amazing. It's also like so fucking hard. Like it's crazy. And I do think that is that there to be a good parent, you know, it's such a high, there's so many demands on people nowadays, on parents to be good parents.
Sure.
And again, a global pandemic does not help. The world is in a difficult spot, and it's really tough, but it also gives you a lot of joy. So I do feel like a dad, but I have no idea what I'm doing most of the time, and you learn a lot as you go. And I think that's important to keep in mind, really, for any like big life endeavor. A lot of it is like, can you learn as you go? Because you gotta.
When you say it's the hardest thing you've ever done, what is that mean to you? What is the example that springs to mind? Because like I think it's one of those you don't know till you know kind of things.
Yeah.
So like to be on the other side of the door, you don't know what's going on. I don't know what's going on. I'm like, I don't know, money, the kids got tough questions, I'm not sure what the hell the problem is.
it can go between physical demands and emotional demands. Mm-hmm. Right. Mm-hmm. Like when you're and of course every parent is going to have a totally different, every kid is different, so every parent has a different, you know, experience and journey. But rated high on IGN,
another good game.
So like when my son was small and like pre sleep training, I mean, the exhaustion that you feel is almost unlike any other type of exhaustion I've ever felt before. And now I like to, again, I guess this is a show of caveats, because I like to give caveats to, like, there are obviously people like surgeons that are up for like 36 hours. Like, okay, dude, you got me beat. Totally understand. But
don't forget E3. Don't forget when we used to cover E3.
Yeah, I remember E3. It wasn't as bad as E3. But like, you know, the demands that like are put on people, on parents, especially like during sleep training, if their kid has sleep disorders or issues, like I think I read somewhere that it resembles like a parent going through that resembles the similar physical demands that like a prisoner of war feels. Because sure. Like sleep is one of the most fundamental needs of the human body. You are being like robbed that every day with very little, respite. And it's very hard. And you just push through that and you work on it and you try and lean on family when you can. And then you start getting into like the more emotional demands, like, you know, how do you explain a very difficult world to, you know, someone that is completely innocent and does not understand like what it means to be evil or to, you know, suffer loss. The fact that he lost his grandmother, his Nana, that was one of the hardest parts about losing my mom, was that like very first conversation, having to see how crestfallen he was, like, she's gone. And you know, you can't
talk
to her. My mom had fought cancer for many, many years. So in the back of my mind, I always had to prepare myself for the possibility, if not the eventuality, that she would pass before her time. And so I kind of tried to prep Soma a little bit, you know, prep my son a little bit and kind of talk to him a little bit about life and death in very small ways. This was like in the months, years leading up to the loss of my mom. I would say like, oh, like, look, like if we saw, I know this is going to sound really silly and really almost trivializing the loss of human life, but stick with me on this. Like if we saw like a spider that had died in the house, I would like, we would stop and we would like give pause. And I would say, this was once alive and it's not anymore. Like its body is not moving. It's gone. And I would try and teach him through examples in the real world. And I think that actually, it helped a lot. But of course nothing, you know, really prepares you for the loss of a parent, but
yeah,
dude. Have I thoroughly bummed out the Twitch stream at zero viewers?
Because it's gone up. They want more death. No, but no, the chat's very supportive of you right now. Don't worry about that.
Yeah. I'm not looking at it. I'm just looking at you. That's all I'm looking at.
Smart. See, a lot of people get distracted by it. Don't worry about it. No, Dark Rise 2 says, we love Ryan. And so there's a lot of fuck cancer in there. And people are, you know, very much on your side. Don't worry. We have a good audience. You know that. Yeah. YouTube audience, that'll be a different story. Why are they talking about PlayStation? I want to know what it's
like. Hey, sing the silver and gold theme song again. It's like, wait, I wanted to talk about life and loss.
I can't even imagine, like, you know, having to explain those things, and like, let alone, like, you know, like for me it's always the concern, right, as you know, Jen and I don't have children and haven't conceived any, and I keep getting Ghostbuster toys for them just in case we ever turn the corner. But for me it's always those days where I am a grumpy asshole, where I want to play games, but there's something I have to go do. There's some chore to go do. There's an unexpected minor inconvenience that pops up that keeps me from doing what I had in my head planned. I'm like, meh, meh. And when you know how it is when you're being a jerk, you can't just say stop being a jerk. Like, right, you have to get out of it. But I do have those moments of like, I guess I have to embrace it and enjoy it while I can, because if we ever have children, right, like I can't do that. Like,
kiss the gaming time goodbye. Like, I love those articles where like, how can you still be a gamer as a parent? Fuck that, you can't. Like, you could do your best. You can try and carve out what little time you can, and of course people make it work, but it, you know, again, like if you really want to put in the time and you are a busy working adult, it's such a fundamental change to your schedule. You really just have so little time for yourself, because so much of it has to go into the day-to-day.
Yeah, so that's my hope, is again, if we ever have a kid, that my workaround for it will be the fact that I can game at work. Like, you know what I mean? Like, well, I'm not, you're a working adult writing about games or writing a game. Whereas like, hopefully I can just be like, you know what? I'm streaming on Twitch all day long. Like, that's what I'm fucking doing, Tim. Suck it. You know what I mean? Like, run around and do that kind of thing to make it work. But yeah, like do you feel like you've played anything?
Actually have. So the thing I joke about and I've talked about on podcasts before is like the like maybe hour to hour and a half I can squeeze in after my son goes to bed.
Yeah.
But then before I inevitably collapse from exhaustion is like that's game time. And of course, I obviously want to alternate that with spending time with my partner, and like her and I will like watch. We're watching Queen's Gambit right now.
Oh, great show.
Excellent show so far. But like, yeah, dude, I mean, get ready for those that listen to the PlayStation blogcast. Here's a recurring segment, but like, you better believe I'm still playing Final Fantasy 14, the MMO.
Oh,
I've been playing that. I've been playing that for like 5 or 6 years now, dude. I mean,
still yeah, trying I mean, to get out of the entry area, but
I assume, I'm still in the tutorial. It's amazing. By the way, that's a good opportunity for me to ask how that DC Universe Online is going for you. I mean, I can only assume you're still playing it every day.
No, not every day. I check in once in a while. All right. Green Lantern, Taylor Swift did move over to being a hard light Green Lantern main, I'll have you know. So that's what's been happening over there. But
is there like any chance in hell that you would like play another MMO, or was that just a perfect storm of like, it's DC, it like had the crunchy features that you wanted, it came at like a good time, and now you're done, like you'll never return to MMOs again?
I mean, it's similar to, we joke around this in the show a lot of like, remember when we started and people would come back from previews and be like, oh, they're integrating RPG systems, oh, it's an RPG light, and now just every fucking game is an RPG. There's, you know, there's stat points and there's this and there's that.
Yep.
I feel like the traditional MMO has, and don't get me wrong, they still exist, obviously. Look at WoW and Shadowlands coming out this week or whatever, or last week. They exist, but I still think that's broken down in such a way where it's like, for all of its many flaws, still like Avengers. I'm still working on platinuming Avengers, and my clock when the PlayStation dropped was 125 hours into it or whatever. It's like, I'm playing that with a smaller group of people. It's not the MMO of like I'm running around, you know, Metropolis or Gotham and seeing dozens of people like you do in DC Universe Online. But it's still the same idea, right? Where I'm grinding. Like, you know, isn't in a lot of ways Destiny an MMO? And I'm not playing Destiny, but it's that idea of like those things are there and they are happening. And so, yeah, it's a perfect storm in a way, even though I still... It was funny. The thumbnail we're going to use is an old photo. So I just put into my phone, because I still never delete photos from my phone. I put in, 2011, 2012. And I ran into Star Wars The Old Republic when I made my Taylor Swift character in that MMO on my PC, you know, in the whatever room. And I was like, I always, in the back of my mind, I always kick around doing that, going back to that and starting fresh, because the game's obviously completely different, whatever. But like, I miss KOTOR so much that like the idea of just doing that and running through it. But like, even by no means am I as exhausted or as busy as you having a child, but it's the same. It's a lot of the same things.
No, you keep really busy. You work really hard.
Thank you. But it's the same thing where like when I do get, you know, when Jen goes to bed and it's time for me to like get lost in a game, I do the same thing you do where it's just like, I'm exhausted. I'm only going to be awake an hour at tops. Do I really want to start something fresh? No. Yeah. So right now it's, you know, go run a couple quests in Valhalla, you grind this stupid hive trophy and goddamn Avengers. That's killing me. Like, you know what I mean? Like that, play this stupid game for a platinum while I listen to a podcast. It's an MMO is such an undertaking. Right. And like, you look at me of like the games I've tapped out on or put on pause that, you know, you get 35 hours into, and you're like, all right, well I need, and because it's still the same thing too, of like, you know, my side of the industry where it's like, cool, I've put 35 hours into this game. It's great. And I really enjoy it, but I have two other things that are stacking up on my thing. And right now, like the PS5, I just downloaded two games on embargo and not Cyberpunk, don't worry. And it's that thing of like, shit, I need to play these before Cyberpunk gets here. And then even when Cyberpunk gets here, it's like, I think nothing else is coming out for the year. So hopefully I get a few weeks with that, but it means that I'm not making any progress in Valhalla, Phoenix, whatever from there on out. Like, yeah. it's such a juggling act. And I think, you know, even for having, you know, no kid and, you know, having a job that I created that's just talking about games during the day, I never get to fucking play games. It's so rare during a day that I'm not on a call when I have a free, when I'm not on camera or I'm not answering an email or doing whatever. It's such a juggling act for everybody, I think, being adults, let alone to get out and, like you were talking about, that quality time with your partner, right? That's the never ending struggle of, all right, cool. Jen and I have existed in the same house all day and we've had conversations here or there, but like they're usually about industry stuff. So what about the actual adult things that I need to answer in emails for us or do this thing or run a chore? Like, this is a conversation that just triggered, right? I was supposed to go to the pharmacy today to get the other half of Porty's pills. Like, I glided right past that on the calendar this morning, building a show to do, you know, it's just how life is right now.
Thanks, Clements. God.
I want you to know, Porty, come
here. Porty. Aw. I haven't seen Porty in a long time, folks.
This dog's death is on your hands because I didn't get to the pharmacy to get his pills.
I knew you were gonna make a joke about this. Oh my god, look at him. How old is Porty now?
He is 15. He'll be 16 next summer. Yeah, he's ancient. The other day, I was doing months ago now. We did a Zoom call to watch the Mizzou game, me and a couple of the antlers from that I haven't talked to equally in forever. And in the middle of the call, we'd already been out and hanging out. And I was like, all right, I got to go walk Portillo. And one of my friends on the call goes, Portillo is still alive. For you know, your friends, I don't, you know, post on fucking Facebook. So it's like for your friends that aren't following Twitter or anything, but your career or whatever, they just don't, they haven't thought about Portillo since 2008. And yep. I'm like, oh, I got to take this asshole out.
Do you remember when the one time I babysat Portillo at your old ass apartment?
Yeah, yeah.
And like the funny story that I always, this will not embarrass you. This is embarrassing to me. You had me, like, my task was to go to, you know, check in on Portillo when you were out of town. And so I was like up in my apartment. I think I was probably in San Francisco and you were living what was the name of that goddamn town?
Like when I first moved here.
Yeah.
So I did South San Francisco for 9 months, but that was when we were first Porty wasn't here. So it would have been Burlingame.
It was Burlingame. Yeah. That's right. And so I like had the key, right? So like you gave me a key to let myself in so I could take care of Portillo. I drive all the way through like California traffic. I like get to your apartment and I'm like, I didn't bring the goddamn key. Like, you stupid fuck. I was so crestfallen because it's like that realization when you've made a mistake and there's nothing you could do about
it. Yeah,
like,
right. Yeah, there's no out.
I'm going to do like, you know, lock pick my way into your apartment. Like, I've just got to get my ass back in the car. And I drove all the way back, then all the way back down again, then had to, of course, go back home. And it was just like, that was funny.
That was when you were living in Brisbane, right?
Was I in San Francisco at that time? Or was that in, no, I guess I was in Brisbane. That would have
been, yeah, because you, yeah, that makes sense, right? Because that makes sense. Yeah. Cause you moved into the Sunset eventually, but I think was after we already at the new office, I think. Right.
I don't remember.
Yeah. It's a blur.
Don't ask me for dates.
It's the same thing of like, again, like, you know, I feel like it's one of those things where like you went through the portal, whereas I'm still here. So like all the references I give you are like, so second day, or we were talking about intersections earlier today. Are you still in that one apartment? I'm like, oh no, I moved years ago, moved out. You know what I mean? Like, I still drive by Brisbane all the time. Like, remember Julie's over there? You know what I mean? Like, oh, look what they did in the building over here. I'm like my father, like pointing out how San Francisco's changed, all the things we knew.
Remember the laundromat that I almost set on fire when I lived in Brisbane? I do.
Just your landlady that didn't want you taking showers at
didn't
night.
Didn't want me to run the water past like 11 p.m. And it's like, well, you are a tyrant, ma'am.
Yeah. But you accept it. You just accept it. You're like, whatever. It's like, I don't think I ever told you when I moved here, but left the other apartment, which is of course where Kind of Funny started, in the spare bedroom. Like, it was that thing of like, I was the one left holding the bag. Like, I was the only, I was the last man standing in the place. So like, I had to deal with the landlord. And at one point when he came down there and was complaining about how the walls looked and everything else, and so much of this shit was just like, house is sucked to begin with. He was like, and just so you know, like, if it, to fix all of this stuff, if it costs more than the security deposit, I'm gonna have to charge you for that. And that's when I was like, that was the straw. I was like, the fuck you will. That is not what a security deposit is. Security deposit is if I walk out right now, that's what you get to fix this entire place. I'm not paying you more. Back down real quick on that. Those were the days. Yeah,
exactly. Dude, I appreciate that you stood up for yourself in that moment.
Yes.
Old school Ryan would have been like, yeah, sir, here's my bank account.
is there a turning point for where old school Ryan became a more adult Ryan who isn't worrying about this stuff, or is it all chip damage? It's all little XP gains.
Chip damage. Oh my God. You're funny. You should do this for a living.
Thank you.
I don't know, man. Don't we all learn lessons gradually over time?
Yeah.
It's being an adult. Like I am, I would like to think I am now a confident adult. And that is a culmination of so many lessons and pains and joys over how many years, you know. It's been 12 or 13 years since I like moved out to California to start like to be like on my own. And, you know, and I'm still like a young guy. Like I'm not even like fucking 40 yet. Like I don't even have a right to call myself like, I'm an old man. I've been around the block.
Well, I feel like we're in this weird spot where we're not young, but we're not old, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Where I feel still like the kid, but obviously I'm an adult, but it's like, I'm not also not like, I don't know. It's something about like, and not even like in the traditional midlife crisis way, but like 40 sounds old or not old, but established, I guess, more of it. Right.
And like, 40 is like classic middle age. Right.
And like, so like I was, mean,
that's, yeah,
we're reviewing Miles Morales or whatever. And we were getting ready for the spoiler cast. And I left the characters up on the screen and that way I could look at bios if I needed a name or something. And I left it on his mom. And his mom's 42. And like, I looked at it and I was like, 42. And like, that's 7 years from where I am, which sounds like a lot, but it's not when I look, like, it was just like such a weird thing. I'm like, how close to being 42? And how old would Miles have been? Like, I'm doing math of like, yep, could I have Miles right now? Like, what is going on?
Oh my God. Am I close to death?
Is my kid Spider-Man?
Is my kid Spider-Man? Am I Miles's mom? I don't know. I'm doing this information.
Do you still listen to K-pop? That's one of the questions everybody wants to know.
Oh, okay. So, okay. We could... Let's just take a brief tangent into K-pop land.
K-pop town, here we come.
K-pop town, population.
Us.
Well, us and probably a lot.
It's bigger than ever. Every time I see these BTS kids, I'm like, oh, I remember Ryan liked K-pop. Mr. Taxi. I'll never forget Mr. Taxi.
Mr. Taxi. You loved it. It was your favorite track.
Taxi. It was a great track.
You still remember it. Oh, I'm impressed. Oh, yeah. When Jessica left Girls' Generation, I had to turn away from the whole genre.
Wow.
Now also, to be fair, it's really hard to keep up with something like, well, I mean, now it's a little easier, but like kind of at that time when K-pop really started permeating American mainstream pop culture, there was still a lot of the reporting, a lot of the news, a lot of like the being in that culture and in that pop phenomenon. Like, if you don't know Korean, you're only going to get so much. You're going to get like the translations. You're going to get like, you know, the fan sites that are reporting on it. And like, it's kind of exhausting to keep up with all that stuff. And at a certain point, I was like, I'm good. I'll just like catch a YouTube video now and then. And I kind of just like turned away from it. But I do love KDA, the League of Legends.
Oh, yeah. Group. They're great. Yeah.
Their tracks are so insanely well produced. It's not right. it is very, very impressive. So that stuff's really fun. But I find generally now that I can't keep up with it. There's too much.
Sure. Yeah. So what do you listen to? You were always so musically inclined.
That's actually not true, right? Because I would always be like, who, like, what are you talking about?
You were always listening to music. It was just the rest of us had no idea who the fuck it was, but you were always listening to music.
And I feel like I missed out, like a lot of people when they grew up, they like were just listening to music all the time. And I had like one CD on repeat. So I feel like I missed a lot of my musical education. I listened to, here's a dad statement. I listened to a lot of jazz.
Nice.
I listened to... I actually like putting public radio on because sometimes I'll get like exposed to like kind of weird or eccentric groups that I wouldn't normally listen to. My partner has like really diverse and interesting tastes, so I like to listen to music that she listens to. And then I ultimately listen to a lot of Daniel Tiger and Pete the Cat music because that's the kind of family-friendly music that has to happen in our house.
Understandable.
Yes. And, okay, hold on a second. If I open up my web browser, am I gonna like crash the internet? Like, what? How does this recording work?
Am I
gonna
be fine? You should be fine.
Okay. All right. I'm gonna quickly open up. I just want to give you someone that I have been listening to recently, which is fine. Let's give chat something to look up. The artist Ile, you spell her name Ile. She has an album called Almadura. She's a, I want to say that she's a Puerto Rican artist.
She is Puerto Rican. I'm on her Wikipedia here.
Which track do I flipping love from that album? It's it might be the title. No, Contra Todo. So that's right there is my jam. So I'll just say that like that's one that I've been for some reason just like I think I saw her on like a Tiny Desk concert and I started listening to her and she's so awesome and that song is amazing.
According to Wikipedia, she's also known as PG-13, which is a dope name.
PG-13?
But yeah, the SEO value on that must not be high.
Yeah, no, know? That I mean that's why I'm calling her.
Yeah, she's awesome. Everybody go listen to that song. She's really cool. And that song, like, put on a good pair of headphones because the bass and percussion of that song is completely sick. It's off the charts, Greg. Off the charts.
Off the charts. There you go. That's a hot tip from Ryan Clements on what you should be listening to right now.
Yep.
Speaking of what you should be listening to right now, you're listening to We Have Cool Friends, ladies and gentlemen. Remember, each and every week, we interview one of our cool friends about the cool things they're doing. You can go to patreon.com/kindoffunny to be part of the friend zone where you ask our guests questions. I have two lined up from Ross Green and Soul Porpoise. But before I do that, let's talk about our sponsors. Of course, you can go to patreon.com/kindoffunny to get the show ad-free. And speaking of ads, here we go. We're starting with MeUndies. The holidays can be a stressful time, especially with things looking a little different this year. That's why our friends at MeUndies curated a list of stuff your friends really want so you can soften the stress and win the holidays. Seriously, you're going to be the number one gift giver ever. Their next level micromodal is not only super soft, but breathable, light, and impossibly cozy. The best part? You can get all your gift giving done from home. Avoid the malls, hit pause, and gift new undies, PJ sets, slippers, and everything else you need to have a stress-free and comfortable holiday. Of course, ladies and gentlemen, you know I only wear MeUndies underwear. Isn't that right, Kevin?
That's a fact. Me too.
Thank you.
I threw out all my underwear.
You too. Just the same thing. You copied me. Remember, I did
yeah.
that.
Yeah. I was very impressed. I was like, man, Greg Miller's doing this? I'm in.
You should get committed to it and get your family committed to it. Remember, you can get the MeUndies membership with a MeUndies gift card. The membership is a subscription that sends new pairs right to their door so they never need to run out of undies again. MeUndies has a great offer for my listeners. Any first-time purchasers will get 15% off and free shipping. MeUndies also has their problem-free philosophy. If you're not satisfied with any product for any reason, they'll refund or exchange it. No caveats, no questions. To get your 15% off your first order and free shipping, go to MeUndies.com/morning. That's MeUndies.com/morning. Up next, ladies and gentlemen, is Manscaped. Ryan, strap in for this one. The holidays are here. Have you made your wish list yet? Our sponsor today has the number one wish for gift of the year, Manscaped, the best in men's below the belt and above the belt grooming. Manscaped is here to ensure you're taking care of your manhood and your nose hairs with their new performance package. Ho, 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 fellas, naughty or nice, 'tis the season to perform. Of course, ladies and gentlemen, you know Manscaped has been very good to Kind of Funny. We all use it, and I'm looking good. Let's just leave it at that. All right, looking good everywhere.
Where?
All right, everywhere, above and below the belt. I can say now. Look at my nose hairs, dynamite. I can't show you anything else, but it's dynamite as well. Let me
Great
tell you.
Nose hair you got there.
Thank you. You're in luck, ladies and gentlemen, this holiday season because the Manscaped Performance Package is the ultimate men's hygiene bundle and makes for the perfect gift. Imagine opening an attractive box that says your balls will thank you with the most sought-after gadgets and scents a person could find. Included in the new package is the Weed Whacker ear and nose hair trimmer, which is waterproof. Put Clements on screen. It's waterproof. Which is waterproof and uses a 9,000 RPM motor-powered 360-degree rotary dual sense blade. Look, guys, 79% of partners polled admitted that long nose hair is a major turnoff. Why not use the best tools for the job? This bundle also includes the Lawnmower 3.0 trimmer, the best trimmer on the market for your balls, butt, and body. The dads, like Ryan Clements, won't stop talking about this. The teens secretly buy this, and the women will love you for it. Tis the season to manscape, so get yourself, your dad, your brother, and friends the best gift of all, the Manscaped Performance Package. Get 20% off and free shipping at manscaped.com/morning. That's 20% off and free shipping at manscaped.com/morning. What are you waiting for? Go whack your weeds and make Santa proud. 20% off and free shipping at manscaped.com/morning. Ryan, I tell you, I love the Manscapes just all about it. They're just like, this is who we are. We're going to write the ad copy to be funny.
Are you happy with where you are in your career right
now? I'm thrilled. Like, again, like, people get it. They're whatever. Kevin, go back to me. The final sponsor for this episode is Blue Chew. Guys, remember the days when you were always ready to go? Now you can increase your performance and get a little extra confidence in bed. Listen up, BlueChew.com. That's blue, like the color blue. Blue Chew brings you the first chewable with the same FDA-approved active ingredients as Viagra and Cialis. You can take them anytime, day or night, even on a full stomach, so you can be ready whenever the opportunity arises. If you could benefit from more confidence where it counts, Blue Chew is a fast and easy way to enhance your performance. Blue Chew is prescribed online by licensed physicians, so you don't have to go to the doctor's office or wait in line at a pharmacy, and it ships right to your door in a discreet package. They're made in the USA, and since Blue Chew prepares and ships directly, they're cheaper than a pharmacy, no awkwardness, and you don't have to leave the house. Right now, you can get a special deal for our listeners. Visit BlueChew.com and get your first shipment free when you use our special promo code FUNNY. Just pay $5 for shipping. Again, that's BlueChew.com, promo code FUNNY to try it for free. Blue Chew is the better, cheaper choice, and we thank them for sponsoring this podcast. And remember, when you support our sponsors, you help make this podcast possible. So please use our promo code FUNNY at BlueChew.com. Ryan Clements,
I am still here.
Come back, just off. Like, I am not a Manscaped Adam Reed fan.
No. I mean, everything was lovely. You killed it. Bravo to the Manscaping copy writers. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. I think that the thing, there's something about, I'm gonna kill the momentum we've got going with this show. But there's something about the image with the MeUndies copy.
Yeah,
there's something about the problem-free philosophy that, like, that's when I started losing it, was when I was just picturing, like, someone putting on their underwear and being like, I've got a problem, you know, like, and I need a solution, sprint to the phone, and they're like, get me MeUndies. I love it. There's something.
They're very good, glorious. They really.
They're really good. Yeah, they got pajama pants too, Ryan. They're great too. Kevin and I wear those a lot. I have Star Wars ones. I like them.
Oh my gosh. Adorable. Adorable.
I know.
Go ahead. Go. No. Go. Give me the
Ryan, quest. You're entering the friend zone. First up is going to be Kind of Funny best friend, Ross Green, who wrote into patreon.com/kindoffunny, just like you can. It says, hi, Ryan, parentheses, and Greg. Do you have a favorite episode of Beyond during your time on the podcast? My own personal favorite is 150, as I feel that was the real meshing of the dynamic trio of you, Greg, and Colin. Thanks, and Beyond!
Beyond! Can I still say that anymore?
Yeah, I owe Jonathan Dornbush a nickel every time I say it, but I still do it.
Well, thank you so much for this question. Favorite episode... It's going to be impossible to say because they all, I mean, when you look back at all the episodes as the creator of them, they all kind of mesh together. I will say that the episode, I forgot which anniversary it was, but it might have been 150, but the one where we debuted The World is Saved, or no, no. The World is Saved.
Yeah, that was 200.
That was 200. That one, to me, that one still remains very special.
Yeah, 100%. The live ones always do.
That was incredible. And I mean, the work that Panda and Danny and everyone did on that animation, like, it still gets me. I still love that.
Oh yeah, I still go back and watch those.
Yeah. So that one was special. I love all the little jokes that we've had over the years.
Yeah.
like the being possessed, like you being like Sean, and like like stuff like that still gets me, and I think about those moments, those memories, and yeah, it's just love it. I don't think I have a favorite episode.
I know that, like, you know, it's so weird because it's not even live events now, but I don't know how much people talk to you when you're at PlayStation, even about Beyond and how much that is, but it's, I remember not the event, obviously, because they all run together too, but someone talking to me like, oh, my favorite episode is this. And I go back and listen to it all the time. And I was like, you listen to a podcast that was like weekly about PlayStation news all. And they were like, yeah. And I remember, I think I asked the room, and then I think I've put it up on other stuff too. Like, does this happen? Like, so many hands went up of like, oh yeah, I do that all the time. And like, people's favorite episodes, people will literally be like, oh, Podcast Beyond episode 214 was just that you guys did this and had that. And I was like, awesome. Like, I don't ever think of it like that, you know?
Yeah. If only I could live the life of someone just listening to Beyond and not making it for so many years.
Sure. Yeah. Of course. You were talking about that. And I know that you're such a fan of nostalgia that I swear to God, I didn't plan this. But talking about your favorite episodes of Beyond, I still have the folder from where I took down all of the artwork that was on the pillars of IGN, if you remember, from when we wanted the people to send in their art of you getting killed. They were like...
do you remember? What was that? There was like this period of time where there was so much fan art of me being like executed.
If you remember, PlayStation, for some reason, I mean, because they're great or whatever, but gave us a bunch of Killzone 3... Hellghast editions to send off, and we were like, okay, to do that, send in whatever artwork of, and I think we gave the idea of have it be Ryan getting killed because that's how cool we were, and this is, here's Undertaker smashing through the wall and stabbing you.
I love the reaction, the pointing instead of like retreating. Colin just pointing
and me being flabbergasted by it. Yeah, like that's the funny. I remember, like, we are always so proud to get cool artwork and to have it, and just we took it all down. One, I guess it gives away the email or whatever, but after one of the episodes, this is from Chris Citrus, subject line, map, and then the body of it reads, Beyond, due to recent political developments, I believe this map actually depicts the geographic makeup of the USA. Washington Tacoma robot or whatever. I didn't know what the fuck was going on. I mean, Washington Tacoma, you know what I mean? Like
Washington Tacoma robot.
What else do I have in here? This is, hold on, going through, like, this is an ancient relic here, but if you remember, if you remember Doug Buzz from the IGN boards, he was trying to get hired, so he made this like thing and gave every one of us profiles for this comic strip he wanted to write about us or whatever.
Clements is very easy to draw, so I like him.
So there you go, ladies and gentlemen. That's how, if you ever thought none of it means anything to us, it means something very different in the way of having. Oh, here's another great one. This is from Daniel Smith of me as a Hellghast murdering you.
Why, Greg? Why?
That's just how we wanted it to be. You know what I mean? Yeah, Beyond, it's so crazy. You know what I mean? To think back about the lineage of that show. And like, you're talking about nostalgia, right? And like, I think you were talking about earlier about nostalgia. Hold on. I don't want to roll over any of the fill out of it. Nostalgia and history and contributing and building something, right? And like, that is so much to me what my legacy is at, or our legacy is at IGN, right? Of the fact that started, and like, it still goes to this day. And like, to have Dornbush, who's a admitted, you know, fan of us from back in the day, hosting it and driving it, so cool.
Yeah, absolutely. I feel really lucky that I was on that show, and it's amazing how it can still enter back into our orbit, you know, through these memories and through these funny stories. And yeah, it's wild.
Final question from the friend zone comes from Soul Porpoise, who says, "For Ryan Clements."
Soul Porpoise. Yeah, yeah.
Like your soul, not like the singular porpoise. You know what I mean?
Right, right.
For Clements, I know it might be tough, but the world needs to know. Can you please show us what Cypher Filton looks like?
I love that. I love that this is like still a thing. that people remember.
A long running legacy of Siphon Filton.
No, I can't. I mean, no one can ever know. But I have to ask, if I turn off my video, is that going to disrupt Kevin's work? And if I turn it back on again? Yeah. All right.
I can make it work.
No, it's fine. I don't have
I'm
to turn
saying,
it off.
I'm a professional. I can do it.
No. I mean, I sorry, hold on one second. I have to, something fell. All I wanted to say is it's wonderful to be back on the show.
Oh my God, he still does it. You can still do the voice so well.
It's because I just heard it recently. Someone like was like, again, yeah, like some clips were bubbling up of like, oh, Cypher Filton, when Cypher Filton was created.
Yeah.
And yeah, so I heard it recently. So I cheated. I actually remember what he said. Otherwise, I would have been like, I don't fucking know what he sounds like.
Get out of here, kid. I don't even know what that is. I hate Cypher Filton.
Cypher Filton? Never heard of him.
I don't know what you're talking about.
No, I love Cypher Filton, but no one will ever know what I look like.
Understandable.
When doing, except you guys, I guess, because you saw the horror of it in real time.
Back in the day when there wasn't a camera in the room all the time.
I know. That's wild.
Ryan, thank you for being one of our cool friends.
Of course. Thank you for having me. This has been so great to be here. And I hope to return one day.
Long overdue, if you ask me. You're always welcome here. You know that.
So I don't have to wait 7 years.
No. We don't have to worry about it. Especially not have to hit anybody up to try to get approval for you to come through.
Well, until I work for another studio, and then it's all over.
But then when you come in, you just negotiate in that contract. You say, hey, I'll do this job, but I need to make sure that I can go on a podcast anytime.
Yes, that sounds good. I'll make sure that that's one of my main talking points in the interview.
Well, awesome.
Thanks, Greg.
No, anytime, man. I love you. I miss you.
Love you too.
Ladies and gentlemen, this is We Have Cool Friends, a cool show where we interview our cool friends about the cool things they're doing. You, of course, can watch it live on twitch.tv/kindoffunnygames as we record it. You can watch it later, youtube.com/kindoffunnygames, or listen on podcast services around the globe. You could go to patreon.com/kindoffunny to be part of the show, get it ad-free, and have a good time. Ryan, where can people keep up with you?
Probably, for now, just on Twitter. I am still at Pwam Cider.
Never give it up.
PWAM Cider. I also did launch a website just to kind of be a little online presence and portfolio.
Sure.
So that if people want to go check that out, it's just my full name, which is RyanDouglasClements.com. I'll just give a little teaser here just to support contract and freelancing stuff. I did actually start a small business, just that's basically me. I am the business.
That's small.
But it is very small, but I will, I'll probably be revealing that and posting like a link to that. It's probably just going to take over what my portfolio is in the near future.
Well, fantastic, Ryan. I can't wait to see what you do next. And I can't wait to one day find out about the game you worked on.
Dude, I cannot wait to fucking talk about it. Like, seriously, to work very hard on something for 2 years and then just not be able to share it with everyone until it's revealed. It's painful. Let me talk about it. Let me talk about it.
All right. Well, Ryan, we love you. Everybody go follow you, keep up with you, and everybody else who's watching. Until next time, it's been our pleasure to serve you.